Sure, I speak for all the missionaries. Second of all, I'd like to share some stuff out of scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11. This is a verse that's been an encouragement to me over the years, and I hope it'll be an encouragement to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. But the first part, ye also helping together by prayer for us. This is Apostle Paul, and he's making mention that this church had helped him, and helped him by praying. And I know some of you out here have been praying for not just me and my family, but for the other missionaries. Amen. And you've helped. You may not have realized it, but you've helped. You've helped in many a way. And reading the scriptures, we find that in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 33, it's a verse that's well known, chapter 33, verse 3. The Lord tells Jeremiah, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Have you called unto the Lord? Has he answered you? You know, he promised to Jeremiah he'd answer. And one thing we appreciate and we covet, I was thinking like what Joey wrote on his little thing here, coveting prayers for Poland, the West family. And yes, we covet your prayers. We covet your prayers. We need your prayers. We need your help. And you can pray, and you can really help us by praying. Even though you don't really see outwardly maybe the day that we're all down discouraged and you prayed for us and the Lord picked us up that day. Maybe you didn't see it physically with your own eyes, but the Lord did it, and it's because you helped praying. And we do need your help. We covet your prayers. And I'm thinking in Matthew chapter 21, verse 21, Jesus talking to his disciples here about a miracle, or you could call it a miracle, that he had just done. In verse 21, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is Matthew 21:21, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Now, you know, I've heard this taught many a times that these mountains that he's talking about, well, they're mountains of doubt or problems in your life and things like that. And, you know, I know you can take this spiritually and apply it that way. But I have a hard time taking the tree that he cursed and it withered away. I can't really imagine how you could take that spiritually. And I get to thinking the problem isn't anything but a lack of faith on my part. You know, I know that the Lord helps us through problems that seem like mountains that we can't get over. But you know, he says, if you have faith and doubt not. You know, what I have is the doubt and not the faith. Because I see things and, man, I don't see how I'm going to come out of this. But yet, you know, this is what he says, if you have faith and doubt not. You know, we've talked a lot of during this week about a lot of different things. And if you didn't come, you missed out on some real, real good things that really would have really helped you. They've helped me. But you know, without the faith, you really can't expect the answer. He says, all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Not you might receive, you shall. Now, of course, you need to take things in context. You can't just take this and just forget everything else that the Bible has to say. You have to take the whole Bible in context, comparing the spiritual with the spiritual and so forth. So you're taking this in its context and seeing what else the scripture has to say. Let's look in Luke. Because you see, I find a couple men here that they're usually criticized for their attitude, but yet I see that they had faith. Luke chapter 9, Luke 9, verse 54. Now Jesus, he was going to go through Samaria, go through Samaria and on his way to Jerusalem, but they didn't want to receive him. So what happens here? Verse 54, and when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? Now they asked a question. Will you have us command fire from heaven? Now have you ever asked God that? No, because you don't believe he's going to even let you do it. But you see, these guys believe that if he just said yes, hey, let's do it. Why? They had some faith. But you see, they had the wrong attitude. So what happened? What did Christ tell them? But he turned and rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit you are of. Now too often we ask for things and we're just asking wrong. We're asking with the wrong attitude maybe. And you know, if you look further in the scriptures in the book of James, James chapter 4, the thing is, if you have faith, you need to have it based right. as these men, they had faith there in Luke, but it wasn't based right. It wasn't founded quite right because they had the wrong attitude about it. They had the wrong spirit. Christ came to save, not to destroy. And here in the book of James, chapter 4, starting with verse 1, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill, and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not." Now here, he's talking about because ye ask not. Now these two guys, James and John, they didn't have that problem. They asked. They got a different answer. And he says here in verse 3, "Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss." That's what happened with James and John. They asked amiss. It wasn't for that time. It says that ye may consume it upon your own lusts. Now, something I find here, and I've been thinking about it. When you pray for yourself, yes, many a times we ask to consume upon our own lusts. Lord, give me this, give me that. And why? Our own lusts. I want a better computer. I want a better house. I want this, I want that. But what about when you pray for someone else? I mean, where does that benefit you when you're praying for somebody in another country who's preaching the gospel? I mean, where is that? How's that going to fulfill your lust? I mean, okay, you're going to come back here and say, look what they're doing over there. You know why? Because I prayed. Everybody's going to look at you. You prayed. Right. They won't believe that for nothing. Why? Because there's really no glory for you in it when you're praying for someone somewhere else. Ask amiss. Well, try asking blessings for someone else. Try asking that the Lord bless someone else instead of so selfishly always for yourself. And you know, really, he said helping. This church in Corinth, they helped the Apostle Paul. How? Praying for him. Praying for him. That's the same thing that you can do for us. You can do for each other. Sure, you're not on the street preaching some days. Why? Because maybe you don't have no voice that day. But you can pray for the brothers that went that day. You can pray for the ones that are going to be gone. You can pray for one for another. You see a brother who looks kind of down? You can pray for him. You can pray for him that the Lord will lift him up. You'll pray for him. But if you don't pray for him, why is he down? Well, you didn't ask. No other excuse. You didn't ask. Let's not have it said that we didn't ask. At least ask. Even if we ask wrong, at least ask. James and John, they got rebuked for what they asked. But hey, they at least asked. And now there's no confusion. We're not to call fire down from heaven. Because that's not the spirit we should have. Christ came to save. John chapter 14. John 14, verse 13 and verse 14. Jesus talking here says, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if ye ask anything in my name, I will do it." Here we have another promise from the Lord. Ask, and he'll do it. But what? That the Father may be glorified. Not me, not you, the Father. Who are we trying to lift up? We're trying to glorify Christ. We're trying to glorify God. Not ourselves. Why? Because we're nothing. And without him, we'd be even less than what we are. Less than nothing. The book of Matthew, chapter 6. You know, I don't hear this taught too much in churches, especially not over here. But in Mexico, just about everybody knows these verses here in Matthew 6. It's what they call the Lord's Prayer. But you know something he says in here, in verse 9, says, "After this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth." Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. He starts off, and what does he want? Or what does he tell us to ask? Or how does he tell us to ask? That the Lord's will be done. Not ours, the Lord's. And then we have the example of he himself. And if you consider it, in Matthew 26, this is right before he's to be crucified, right before he's to be turned over to the authorities to be crucified. And he's in the garden there with his disciples. Verse 38, he tells his disciples, and he said unto them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." Now he wanted them to watch with him. And he says here, "And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." You know, the cup he's talking about is the cross he was to carry for us. And cross he was to be nailed on, that sacrifice he was going to do for us. That's what he was talking about. And if it was possible, possible what? For us, you and me, to be saved without him having done that, he said, let's do it that way. But if it's not, your will be done. And when he comes down to the end, that's what he says. But what does he tell the disciples? Watch and pray. What did Paul say? Helping together. By praying. Brethren, we need your prayers. We can't do anything without the Lord's blessings. We're wasting our time if the Lord's not going to bless. And he sent us, he's called us to go, we've gone, but in ourselves, we don't have the strength to continue on. We need help. We need the Lord's help and we need your help. We need your help that you pray for us. What? That you bring our names before the Lord and ask him to give us the strength we need. That you pray for the churches down there. Brethren, prayer. What did he say? You can move a mountain if you only believe. Why would you not pray except for that you don't believe God will answer? Why would you not ask except you don't believe? Too many times I tell my kids, all you got to do is ask, and they won't come and ask. Why? They don't believe. And too many times I think, man, if they were just asked, I would have given it to them. But they wouldn't ask. How many times have we done the exact same thing with the Lord? Instead of asking, we think, nah, he wouldn't do that. He wouldn't, man, they're too far away. How's he going to, you know, how am I prayer way over here going to affect them way over there? But brethren, you got to remember, our Lord is not only here, but he's there also. And if he hears something said here, he can take care of it over there. Brethren, helping together. This isn't a one-person thing or a three-man show. This is a thing where all of us together as a body need to function, need to have a part. And if part of the body isn't functioning, sure, I understand some people, they can't go anymore. But you can pray. I met a sister in the Lord. She was blind. She was real discouraged. I was talking with her and she was saying, man, I can't do anything anymore and everybody's got to do everything for me. And she was really discouraged. And she was crying. And the Lord gave me some words of encouragement for her. Never pray. You can pray. And something I noticed that shortly after the Lord started blessing. Because I remember asking her to pray for us. Pray for us there in Salamanca. And I started seeing the Lord's blessings. And it was really encouraging to me. And after, I don't know how much time, maybe a year or two, she died. She passed on. Went on to glory. And it was a blessing when the brethren told me about it because she was ready to go. She was wanting to go. She was wanting to be with the Lord. And I remember thinking, who's going to pick up the slack? Who's going to take her place? I remember talking with her before she passed on, and she was telling me that she remembered me. She couldn't see me, but she remembered me, and that she had been praying. Now, such an encouragement, because it was like, yeah, I can see it. I can see that you've been praying, because over here, man, we're feeling the blessings. And when she passed on, it was like, who's going to pick up the slack? And, you know, I confess, I don't think I have the gift to pray like some people do. I don't think I have the gift of faith. But I've seen the Lord do some mighty things. And brethren, we need to all function. Say you're too young. I can't go nowhere. I'm too young. But you can pray. You're too old. You can still pray. You're in between. You can still pray. There's nobody here that's excluded from being able to pray. Everyone can do that. Everyone here can have a part helping, praying. But do you believe? Do you believe the Lord will hear you? Ask. Ask him. He'll let you know. He'll either open or close the door. Jeremiah said, the Lord said to him, call unto me, and I will answer thee. Not maybe, but I will. And that he'd show great things that he knew not. To finish, I want to read Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, unto him. Says here, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Brethren, he's able. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. I don't always ask according to what I think, but he's able to do above what I can think of. Brethren, he can do more than what you can think of, more than what we can ask. Why not ask?